Pastor Belinda Hamilton from Orlando, Florida, and for the fellas over there, I wear size double X. Because I broke my long handles. I can't hear because y'all jealous of Florida, that's all. But I'm so glad to be here and have an opportunity to share with you from the Word of God. But let me make a plea for about 75 kids in our Christian school. And there is a recession. I have some brochures here about the First Harvest Foundation. There'll be some here on the front, some will be on the back. And Brother Mike will be up there. They are mostly from single parents' home. I was talking with some men earlier. 70% of black homes don't have a man. That's 70%. Most people don't know that. The other 30% basically are run by women. We pray. I've been pastoring for 31 years. We pray for men to come to our church. And I have been a father to so many men that told me that they never had a daddy. And so sin is wrong, and ladies will try to find the right man, And so a lot of the brothers and sisters in single parent home have different daddies. So God allowed me to start Harvest Baptist Church 31 years ago. And we have a men's fellowship. And I tell our men, there's a leader in every last one of you men. And God, and there have been so many success stories. So we have a foundation. If you know somebody that want to help us, we need you to help us financially. I was told that our church is not in hell, it's just next to hell. Because it's in one of the roughest areas of Orlando. But those people respect us because we try to reach people with the gospel. For those that was in the opportunity, to preach on evangelism, I told you one of the best places to go soul win is Walmart. And this morning, every day, I pray that God use me to keep somebody out of hell. And so we 9 miles out here where Daniel Boone and David Crockett live. So wherever I go somewhere, I'm looking for Walmart. And Brother Vaughn told me there was a Walmart in Lexington. So this morning, me and Brother Mike got up this morning, prayed, and we went to Walmart. And you can get one if you want one. And we got three, amen? So got three this morning. So I don't brag about it. Brother Gill do all the bragging about it. But ever since 1994, I led at least one man to the Lord, or lady, or whatever, ever since 1994. Except one day in 2008, I bought me a scooter. And I was worried about passing the test. I forgot to go soul winning. And that's the only day I have not led anybody to the Lord. So I thank the Lord for that. And so Brother Gill go across America making me this great come of Jesus or something, you know. And I'm not that. It's just that the harvest is plenty, the labor's a few. And I want to give this to some of you because some of you believe in, but I talked about it in the time I preach. SW. Now, the men that came, they know what that means. Watch this. It's very simple. And soul winning is not as difficult as people make it. Some will. That's the first SW. Some won't. So what? Somebody's waiting. If you put that in your heart and use it, it'll help you. Now, let's see how smart you are. Let's go. The first SW is what? The second is what? Now, the third one helps you go to the next person. So what? Somebody waiting. If you use that, God will help you to reach people. Now, let me just tell you this. We're going to get to preaching. And take your Bible, turn to St. Matthew chapter 17. And then we're going to go to Psalms 106. I try to talk slow where people can understand me. Because when I was born, I used to say 1, 2, key, 4, 5, 6. So my niece had to teach me how to say 3. I used to say my color red, yellow, blue, so I had to learn how to say blue. So sometimes when I get to preaching fast, you'll wonder what I said. So whatever you think I should have said, that's what I said. You think I'm joking, but my speech sometimes is so bad that when I call the church to leave me a message, I don't want to know what I said myself. So I said, no wonder they can't understand me. And that's for real, amen. Let's stand, if you would, in St. Matthew chapter 17, then we're going to go. And I appreciate Brother Vaughn allowing me to come and just share. Because it's all about Jesus, amen. It ain't about me. It's all about Jesus. And Brother Mike will give those out, but if you don't get one, harvestorlando.org, harvestorlando.org, that's our website. Check it out if you can help some young people in our church. And we got a lot of things going down there. We got a Christian school, we got a Bible college, we got a men's shelter, we got a foundation, and God will use me to make a difference in Orlando, Florida. St. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1 says, after 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make these 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now take your Bible, turn to Psalm 106, and that's what we're going to preach from, but I want you to use that as a start-off point. Psalm 106. Verse 1 said, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then drop down and said, our father, verse 7, understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercy, provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Notice in verse 13, they soon forget his words. They waited not for his counsel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to share the word of God. Holy Spirit, God, preach through me to us. Glorify thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message is The Consequences of Short Memory. The Consequences of Short Memory. We up here on a mountain, literally up here on a mountain. And a lot of people are connecting. Some of you have been here for years, and you've been to conference before. And boy, when you leave this conference, you want to do so much for God. I mean, you've been walking with God and talking with God's people, and you've been quiet, and you've been making a lot of promises. God, boy, when I get back home, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And God, I'm going to do that. And then you forget. It is said that after 1 week, or what people hear, they forget. After 1 week, and we up here with God and the children of Israel, they saw the Red Sea open. They saw all of these miracles. And the Bible said they soon forgot. And we're going to look at some of the consequences of forgetting. And how many of us have been to seminars and meetings and even revivals in our own churches, and we got so fired up for God. We got fired up for God. Soon forgot. And we found ourselves in the same position again, sometimes even worse, because we made all these promises of what we're going to do, and now we feel guilty because we made all those promises and we didn't follow through. Oh, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be faithful to the church. I'm going to do all these promises. And this is no condemnation. I'm just saying we need to learn from what's already in the Bible, because the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. So if we can look in the Bible and we can see what some of the consequences are, and then just let me give you a challenge how that might not happen to you. Because some people, I tell our people, sometimes you don't even remember by the time you get to the parking lot. And if you don't, watch this, and if you don't think this is so, you know it's so. What did your preacher preach last week? Amen. You can tell all the short memory people, amen. They'll try to defend themselves. Hey, I got the mic. Don't you holler out like that no more. And I love you in Jesus' name, amen. And watch this. It happened in our church. But Acts 17:11 says, if they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received word of God with all readiness of mind, but they went home and searched the scripture daily to see whether those things were so. And by and large, that's what we don't do. Because the devil has access to our mind. He knows when we utter something with our voice that we are committed to do it. And he's very subtle. Do it. And the preacher right here was talking about the devil attacks. He attacks. And sometimes you're going to get up early in the morning. And I had some of the ladies in our church that tell some of the husbands in the church, don't you start that preacher stuff here. Get up early in the morning and pray. You better not get up early in the morning and pray. And so therefore the devil attack however he want to attack. Because he know you're committed. And this is a great time. And I have enjoyed myself being here. But I'm saying short memory. Short memory. In St. Matthew chapter 17, hey, they was up there. They wanted to build a tabernacle. But when they come down off the mountain, there was a man with a demonic boy. And they said, the daddy said, I took him to your disciples. And they couldn't help us. And Jesus said, okay, what you want? He said, if you can help me. And so sometimes we make Jesus kind of look bad. Not him personally, but how we perform after we've been on the mountaintop. Sometimes people say, what's the use you keep going to that prayer advance? It don't last but a week. And then after that, you back to the same old thing. The same old thing. So I'm saying, hey, we are in a war. And never play down the deceptiveness of the devil. I tell people this. He got one-third of the angels in heaven. He convinced them that they could take God and two-thirds of the angels. Now listen, if I'm the devil, I'm taking 99.9 if I'm going up against God. I ain't taking no third. Give me 99. Leave God with just one angel. Well, I'm not finna fight God, but that's how deceived he is. He went into the garden and got Adam and Eve. In a perfect environment with no problem. He got David, a man after God's own heart. He got Solomon. What you think about yourself? See, I don't tell myself, hey, come on, devil. No, listen, you can bypass my house anytime you get ready. We don't have to have no... Can't we all get along? Hey, you take the other side of the street. I'm over here. And the Bible says that Michael rebuked him in Jesus' name. And as deceived that he is, he still thinks he's going to defeat God. So here we are on a mountain, and we're in Georgia. Made all these promises and you don't weep and cry. But don't forget, short memory. And some of us know about short memory. We walk in a room. And our pride won't let us say, I don't know why I'm in here. So we're standing there for a while. And then we said, it wasn't important anyway. And then when we walk out, we go, that's right, that's what I want. We go right back, amen. One time I was on my cell phone, and I remember I need to call somebody. And I said, where my cell phone is in? It dawned on me, I'm talking on it. So, hey, I know if I'm that forgetful, if I'm that forgetful, and I know that this is the only weapon, yes, sir, that defeats the devil. Yes, sir. And I give him credit for being the most deceiving creature there is. This ain't no joke. This is no joke. And I'm so glad for the opportunity just to try to encourage us. As Brother Vaughn said, it's time for men to be men. It's time for us to be men. Let me give you the first consequence. Short memory. Look at verse 25. No, verse. Yeah, verse 25, let me get right. Verse 25. But murmur in their tents. If you have a short memory, you start to murmur about the things of God. You start to murmur. Oh, you ain't going to talk loud about things you don't like at your church. You're just going to murmur to another brother, another sister. But the preacher preached too long, he preached too short. I don't think that was biblical correct what he said. And you start to murmur. And that's what they did. See, when you can study this out later, but you're going to point out some things. How many of you men are guilty? Don't raise your hand. Are murmuring. They murmur. Watch this. And notice where they murmur at in their tents. They will murmur at home. They come to church, hey, preacher, praise God, hallelujah. But they were murmuring in their house. Oh, I love my preacher, praise God, in public. But they were murmuring in their house. And guess who will be listening to you murmuring? Your children. Your children be here. They hear, hey, let me get I'll try to do both at the same time. Instead of murmuring in your house, you all start praising God in your house. But the reason we can't praise God, most of men, we can't praise God in the house because of this right here. Now, you know what that is. That's a remote. How many of you men will allow your wife on Super Bowl night to come to you and say, honey, let's spend the next couple hours with you just telling me what happened at the prayer event. Some of you about to backslide right now thinking about it. Said, don't take this tape home because I sure don't want my wife to hear that. Said, blank that part out, preacher. Blank that out. Don't, huh? Honey, what? You want, do you know who playing? But, honey, I want you to share with me what you learned. Honey. Wait about 10 o'clock. And I'm all ears. Do you murmur in your house? Second, I got to move on, got a lot of points. Because it's a lot of things here. Watch this. The second thing is in verse 25 also. And hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Short memory, people, forget all about what God says. They went home and searched the scriptures. We just started this year because we had a little riff in our church. We just started this. After every time I preach, one lady will quote Acts 17:11. A lady will come up on this side and give one point of what she got out the message. And then a man on this side will come and he'll give one point of what he got out the message. I thought we should practice Acts 17:11. How much of the word of God is being verbalized in your home? Oh, we Christian preacher, we don't have to. Yes, you do. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We shall admonish one another, Colossians said, with the word of God. So mama and daddy should be talking the word of God. Our sister and brother should be talking the word of God. We shouldn't use the word of God just to beat people down. We should use the word of God to lift people up. And I'm saying short-memory people forget to take heed to what they heard whenever they hear it, if it thus says the Lord. Point three, verse 13. They soon forget his word. They waited not for his counsel. Point three. They didn't wait for God's counsel. You know, men, I believe a lot of times God wants to talk to you, but we don't wait on God to tell us what to do. A lot of our prayers, and I wasn't here because I went soul winning, but a lot of our prayers are one-way conversation. We're telling God everything, and we ain't heard God say nothing. See, now when God is talking, God sometimes, not all the time, will ask you a question. God asks you a question. And God confirm a lot of things with quotation from the word God. And we must be quiet the way we can hear, because sometimes all this distraction, that's why Jesus got up on Mark 1:35, a great while before day, and went to a solitary place, and he prayed. So we need to be quiet. We need to be still. That still, small voice. And God sometimes just said no. Sometimes it's just like, see, sometimes our prayers are, we're telling God what we're going to do. We want God to just okay it. It's just like some of your children, when they'll come and they'll say, Daddy, we going out to the mall. What? I meant to say, Daddy, can we go to the mall? And watch this. They'll say, and you say, no. Why they say no? Because they were telling you they were going. They wanted you okay. How many of us do that with God? When we pray, we telling God what we're going to do. And you were right about decision. Oh, God, this got to be God because more money involved. So God is in this. There's more money involved. See, money is not what God operates by. How many of us know for sure whatever decision you make, it came from God? And we like to sign God's name to it. But when it don't work, it was lack of faith. You see, Genesis is the revelation. And God can confirm what he says in the Bible. Number four, can I move on? Number four. Are y'all with me? Okay. I thought maybe y'all got mad with that New Jersey group, New York group. And all the long hair y'all got, y'all can send them to Florida. I'll wear every last one of them. Number four, watch this. Watch this. Verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Watch this. They was out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. That's why we need the word of God. That's why we need to be faithful to church. That's why we need to pray that God might deal with our past. And when difficult time came, they remembered the leeks and the garlic and the millum. They forgot all about the taskmaster. They forgot all about the bondage. They just remember how good it was back there. They lusted after the things of the past. Man, do you really want more of God? His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. There's a lot of people that don't really want God with them all the time. We say that, but you mean God with me all the time? Give me a break, God. All the time? What are we lusting after? Brother Vaughn said, what are we lusting after? What are we lusting after? Do your heart pant more for God? Do you want more of God? They lusted. And see, it's hard to drive a car looking in the rearview mirror. Sooner or later, you're going to run right into something. And a lot of people, they say, are you saved? Yes! But you're looking back instead of moving forward. Forgetting those things that are past. Learn from them, but move on. Number five. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They got what they wanted. I tell people sometimes, we really don't know what we want. We really don't. We say we know what we want, but God knows what we really need. We say, I need this. And God says, you don't really need that. I need a Lexus to go to work. No, you need transportation. You don't need a Lexus. You just need transportation. No, see, a Lexus to get me there in style. The bus to get you there on time. They got what they wanted. Hey, how many men can identify with this? I'm going to tiptoe by this. How many say, boy, if I get that woman, that's all I want. And you guys say, boy, if that woman can leave me, that'll be the blessed time of my life. That's why Samson said, get her for me. She looked good. They got what they wanted. They lost what they had. I need this position, God. If you just give me that position. And they got that position. And with it came more pressure than they ever had. Are y'all still with me? Number five. I guess the number five. Is that number five? Number six. I'm sorry. I must have missed one. Number six. Watch this. Look at verse 23 and 24. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. Watch this. Number six. When people have short memory, they blame the man of God and his staff. Many people were lost going to hell, and the man of God came to town, led their family to the Lord, got them in the Bible, and now some men and some family blame the preacher. I tell people, I used to be white, but people talked about me so much they burnt me black. They hardly ever said, they never said all of the good things God had used me for, to help them. But let something go wrong. The preacher. That's what they holler. When you study, you'll find out, hey, at first they said, Moses, what you doing? Leave Pharaoh alone. And when God deal with Pharaoh, man, they so happy they have a jubilee. All everybody drowned, man, they had a jubilee. 3 days later, Moses, you and brothers out here to die. We want something to eat. How you gonna feed all these people? God sent manna. A few more days, we tired of that manna. We want some meat. And God give them so much meat, it would come out there. No, you want some meat? You ain't never seen no meat till you see meat like this. And then a group come up, Korah and the 250 famous people, they come up and they tell Moses, you take too much on yourself. And Moses just said, hey, it ain't me. It's my assistant pastor, that's who it is. He the one came up with that pray all night stuff. No, he said, I'm joking. Moses, God, do a new thing. And the earth opened up. And they fell into hell alive. Let me tell you something. If I'm a member of a church, and I just happen to read that in the Bible, I ain't never seen nothing bad about preaching. I'll be waiting for the preacher to get up and I'll be sweeping his sidewalk, everything. Washing his car, everything else. You mean God opened earth and they fell into hell alive. Remember, I'm talking about short memory. You probably forgot. Short memory, you probably forgot. Don't blame the preacher. Nobody prays for you like your preacher. Nobody stands in the gap for your soul like your preacher. Thank God for your preacher. Number 7, verse 34 and 35. They did not destroy the nation concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their word. And they, watch this, number 7. They were swallowed up by the world. When you get short memory, God said, come out from among them and be ye separated. But preach, ain't nothing wrong just going out with the boys. Yes, it is. I just counseled a couple real quick. That 4 years ago, they were in bad shape, and the lady didn't want to come see me because she said he ain't professional enough. But he had been going sleeping with about 12 different women, and she was sleeping with one different man. I told her, ain't no different. Whether it's one with 12 or one with one, 12 times, it's still the same. I said, both of y'all need to get right with God. And he had told her that he ain't going to pull no punches, which he going to tell you like this. They got right. He got in the church serving God. 4 years later, she called me now. I said, not me. I ain't professional enough. But she said something was up, and she thought he was back to his old stuff again. So she put a tape recorder in his car, and he didn't know it was there. She didn't get the evidence she thought she wanted, but he was talking wicked. And she brought it up in there. I said, hey, I said, I'm going to make a plea for your daughter. You got two daughters, one 9 years old and 10 years old. I said, your daughter is saying, Daddy, don't do this. Don't leave us. Daddy served God, and he teach Sunday school. Daddy, don't do this. And he was drinking, and she was drinking, teaching Sunday school. Daddy, I don't want to be a little drunken girl by the time I'm 13. Daddy. And I started to say that, and you see the Spirit of God move on. And both of them bowed their head and asked God to forgive them. I said, hey! If the world can't get you, he wants your children. So you got to get out of the world. When I first got saved, I used to go to the club with my friends in college. And one time, I remember him asking me, let's go to the club. I said, no. He said, you ain't got to do nothing. I said, if I'm not going to fish, I ain't going to put a pole in the water. Because I might just catch something without even trying to catch something. I was able to later on lead him to the Lord. Because he saw me break from the things I used to do. See, people say it's so hard to break that preacher. Yes, I know some people struggle because of the battle of your mind. But guess what? It's hard when you don't want to do it. There are people that go to a Minnesota Vikings, somebody still ain't got a stadium, a Green Bay Packer. They'll go to a Green Bay Packer game in the cold with no shirts on. They are fanatical for God. For not God, they're God. But if you go to church and the preacher preached 5 minutes over his number time, and if he goes 10 minutes over time, you take the watch off and shake it. And if you go 15 minutes on time, you go down the aisle. Time out, preacher. But when it comes to the Super Bowl game, if the game is tied and somebody finna make a field goal to win in there, you hope they miss it, where it can go to overtime. But you don't want the preacher to go overtime. And all the preacher try to do is stop you. Going to the world. Because there's nothing good in our flesh. Paul said, when I want the good, evil is present. And the devil is always lurking, seeking whom he may devour. God told them to kill them. Saul lost his kingdom because God told him to kill everything. He saved the king and the best. And Samuel said, you did everything? Oh, yes, man of God. Yes, you know I did everything. But what is the bleeding of those sheep? Oh, those sheep? Oh. Little Bo P had a sheep. Mary had a little lamb. Not kind of that dumb. See, the preacher is watching for your soul. So when he started to see you deviate, he called and said, everything all right? Oh, yeah, preacher. Yeah, preacher, everything all right? Oh, yeah, preacher, everything all right? And then when things get real messed up, then you call him the preacher. You call him the preacher. They were swallowed up by the world. You read the book of Jude, you'll find out the Bible said God delivered them, and after, because they didn't believe, he destroyed them. God brought them out of Egypt and then destroyed some of them because he wasn't pleased with them. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen? Is that Brother Vaughn said? It's time for you to get back to family devotion. Amen. Deuteronomy 6 said the father taught the Bible. when they lay down, they, no, this is what we're doing. And guess what, gentlemen? Watch this. The same two fingers can flip pages in the Bible. The same two fingers. So the devil, one time you was in that Bible, but now he just got you on the remote a little bit. And have not you been reading the Bible and all of a sudden you remember something was coming on television? And you ain't going to remember everything you saw on the television. All he wants you to do is stay out that book because this is the only weapon that defeats the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus could have turned the devil to devil bread with butter. Slice. But we can't do that. So he gave us the example. You said that. He gave us the example. Whenever the devil attacks, you must attack back with thus says God. How often do you find yourself quoting thus says God? At the end of the month in our church, I give a Bible verse, a chapter, and we have all the people that have learned the verse to come before the church and say their verses. We supposed to lead people to green pastures. So I try to challenge them to walk forward. And see, I know this. There are people in our church that don't do it. And I tell people, when people don't reciprocate back the word of God, that's carnality in them. And the carnal mind is enmity to God. It's not even subject to the law of God. So when you're talking to somebody, they're leaning to their own understanding. Everything is right in their own eyes. And they're right. But they're wrong. Because God is always right. That's all you know the Bible? I wish I knew it better. I wish I knew it better. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It means overflowing. Overflowing. Men, for the sake of your family, for the sake of the ministry that you're involved in, for the sake of lost people, hide the word of God in your heart. Make it on purpose. You got to learn the Bible on purpose. See, you can watch television for 2 and 3 hours. But when it comes to memorizing verses, I can't remember that. I can't remember that. Oh, yes, you can if you want to remember. We can watch 2 and 3 hour football game. But when it comes down to reading the Bible, and watch what we do. We coming back with sleeping pills. A big old sandwich, banana pudding, and lemonade. And then we chase all that down with a Diet Coke. Now we get ready to read the Bible. Have you ever woke up with spit all in your Bible? And that wasn't holy spit. That was sleep with your mouth open spit. Here's the last point. Here's the last point. Here's the last point. Watch this. Watch this. Let me show you the last point. Number 9? We don't know where I'm at. Study for yourself. I got to find which one where it said, let me see. Hold on, this is a commercial. Watch this, 37. Here's the last point. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the devil. They lost their kids. They lost their kids because of short memory. They lost their kids. My daddy was a drunk, weekend drunk. He was a deacon of a Baptist church. He worked Monday to Friday. On Friday when Daddy came home, Daddy had been drinking. I'm the baby of 13. And Daddy had been drinking. And Daddy was a mean man, but on Sunday morning, Daddy would go to church, in the Baptist church, sit in the choir stand, the deacon row, and Daddy couldn't even read. He couldn't even read. And they made him a deacon. Daddy grabbed my brother-in-law, because my brother-in-law bumped my brother's car. And Daddy, whenever he called you sucker, don't be close to him. He had a Hawk Bill knife always in his pocket. My brother said he heard the click in the pocket. And Daddy grabbed my brother-in-law by the neck. He will cut his neck off. My brother grabbed his hand. They fell out the back door. My brother-in-law, until he died, lived with that saw around his neck. My uncle had some halls on our land. My daddy was drunk, and my daddy told my uncle, come get these halls. My uncle came to get the halls, and Daddy shot him with a shotgun. And my uncle, until he died, had scars. I tell that story because I lived in that kind of home. Flipped the coin. I have a mama that went to heaven 2 years ago, March the 1st. Mama never drank. Mama never smoked. Mama never cheated on Daddy. Mama always would wait up for us when we was out. Mama would help anybody she could. She loved God. She took her church. When I couldn't walk, Mama walked 3 miles with me to church. My mama loved me. And I loved my mama. I had a choice. I could be like Daddy. I could be like Mama. I'm glad I chose to be like Mama. I'm glad I chose to be like Mama. In 1979, I prayed with my daddy. He died in 1979. I hope my daddy had it right. Because if my daddy didn't have it right, my daddy been in hell ever since 1979. But I led my sisters and brothers to the Lord. My sister in 2007, I think it was, my baby sister, she called Mama and said, Mama, I won't be calling you no more. And she said, why? She said, 'cause I'm going to die tonight. She said, how you know that? She said, God told me I was going to die. In September that year, my sister died that night. The best thing about it, I led my sister to the Lord. I'm so glad. It would have been way better, I believe, if I had a godly daddy and a godly mama. But I'm glad I had a godly mama. I make a plea for your children, your grandchildren. I make a plea for your children and your grandchildren. Don't back up. Don't forget. Don't lose your children to this world. This world will make them homosexuals and lesbians and trans, wherever that is. But when they stand before God, they're going to stand there in their own will. They're going to stand that way. I make a plea for them. Love God. Love your preacher. Love your Bible. Put the word of God in your heart. Be patient with yourself. Associate with the right kind of people. Don't worry about them talking about you. One day they'll be glad that you stay true. You might disagree with your preacher, but don't leave your preacher. The devil is trying to get you out the house of God. And just remember this. This is from Hamilton chapter 2, verse 1. The banana that leaves the bunch always get peeled. Hamilton chapter 2, verse 1. You got it. Thank you for listening. It's all about God. And I do know God used me when I preach to people. But it ain't about me. It's about God. I love you. I don't know all your names. But I love you. And I'm glad Brother Vaughn allowed me to come. Because you've been on the mountain. But the work is back at home. and your preacher need you to support him. Your preacher need you, like David had mighty men. David said one time, I wish I had a glass of water. Man, that man broke through the camp for a glass of water. That's the kind of man you need. One time a preacher was preaching, I'm in the clothes. One time a preacher was preaching, he said it was a liquor store close to the church. He said, somebody ought to burn it down. One of the men burned it down. The judge said, hey, why you burnt the liquor? He said, my preacher said burn it down. Now, I ain't tell y'all go burn the liquor store down. But we pray for men in our church. We pray for men. I'm not a young man. I tell them I'm going to be dead after a while. We need strong young men that got some conviction. Don't be afraid to let people know you're saved. Ain't nothing wrong with being saved. Two bit, four bit, six bit, a dollar. All for the devil, lay down and waller. Two bit, four bit, six bit, a dollar. All for Jesus, stand up and holler. Sit down. Two bit, four bit, six bit, a dollar. All for the devil, lay down and waller. Two bit, four bit, six bit, a dollar. All for Jesus, stand up and holler.
Boy, has this...